Now, I want to talk about the joy for the journey. And this is what I want to share with you, joy for the journey. I just want to take a few minutes out of just the remainder of our time here before we pray. And I love what we do here. We're going to pray at the end, and we're just going to believe God for just hearts, souls, minds to be transformed. But before I share this story, I want to pray first. God, I thank you. I thank you for your presence that is so evident here in the house. This is your house, God. We thank you for good news. We thank you. Thank you for joy. Thank you for life, true life that only comes from you, Jesus. True life, true freedom, real hope that comes only from you, Jesus. I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord God, even as I share this word, that Lord God, even right now, by the power of your Spirit, touch hearts. Hearts that don't understand joy yet. Hearts that maybe feel lost and lonely. God, right now, in your precious name, I pray, by your power and your authority, begin to move right now here in this auditorium. God, I thank you. Now, Lord, lead me as I share this word. I thank you, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I was reading in Acts chapter 8 and this wonderful story about a young preacher whose name is Philip. And Philip was traveling a lot and preaching. I mean, he just, you know, this brother loved talking about good news. And one day the angel, an angel comes to Philip and tells Philip that I want you to head down south to this particular road. It's a road that will take you from Jerusalem to Gaza. In this particular area, and then Scripture tells us that this road was a desert place, and he says, "I want you to go down that road. I need you to go down that road." And you know, Philip had been going to some really interesting cities and reaching mass populations, but this particular time, he said, "Go down." The angel came and said, "You go to a desert place. You go to this desolate road." And for me, that just really, in a sense, just represents many people that are on a desert road in a desolate place. And I know that this good news is able to reach you in a desert place. And that the good news has the power to reach people in a desolate place. And there's no road that you can jump on where the gospel can't reach you. There's no place you can go where God can't reach you in his love and in his grace. For some of you right now going into this new year, you might be making plans already to try to get out of New York City. I mean, man, if I can just get down to Florida, if I can just get to some palm trees, maybe I won't feel as lonely. Maybe I just won't feel overwhelmed with the pressures of life. But I'm going to tell you, it is only in the good news of Jesus Christ that can bring joy on your journey. Whether your journey is here in New York City, whether your journey will take you to Florida, to Germany, to North Carolina, to Japan, I don't care where it is. But the true joy that you'll find on your journey is only in Jesus Christ. And outside of Jesus Christ, it's just a desert, desolate road trip. But Philip comes along and he, of course, he's obedient and he follows the will of God and he heads on this road. And here's what he finds on this road. There's an Ethiopian man that's traveling on this road. The Ethiopian man was a court official. He was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. Probably a successful man, probably as we can assume here, being a court official, being a man who handled all the money for the queen, probably someone of true status, probably someone very smart. You got to be smart if you're going to handle the money for the queen of Ethiopia. You better know how to handle the money. And so he's on that same road. And Scripture tells us that the Ethiopian man had traveled to Jerusalem to worship. Now, to what extent of what he believed in God, I'm not quite sure. But I do know as I read this story that he didn't have a full understanding of it all. That there was still a void to be filled. And we'll come to understand this as I continue just to kind of just share this and just describe to you what happened. But as Philip is now on this road, and as we as as I'm coming to this story, you're going to understand here's something that is just miraculous and supernatural that happens for you and I that truly want to know the truth. And so what happens here is as Philip is heading down the road, the Spirit of God tells Philip, I need you to go up to that chariot where the Ethiopian man is. And so Philip immediately heads up to that chariot. And when he gets close to the chariot where the Ethiopian man is, he's reading Old Testament scripture. He's reading the book of Israel, what the prophet Israel had written. And Philip asked him as he comes up alongside the chariot, and you can imagine this man in his royalty and in his whole demeanor and status, and as he's sitting here reading openly and loudly, he's reading the scripture, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? I mean, now mind you, it's a perfect stranger just walking up alongside the chariot. You know, for us in New York, we don't take too kindly to us strangers running all up in our business. But Philip just does it because he's just being obedient. And this is the moment that the good news is going to be revealed. And so Philip goes, do you understand what you're reading? And then the Ethiopian, he responds back to Philip and goes, well, I can't understand it if I don't have anybody to help me. Now, yeah, I found that really interesting that he's reading Old Testament scripture out loud. He doesn't even understand what he's reading. And here he is just traveling along the road. I mean, he can handle money. He can handle all the finances and the treasury for the queen of Ethiopia. But he's reading scripture. He's reading the word of God. He has no understanding of what he's reading. And in that moment, he says, I would understand if I had help. I love this moment because for me, it still represents a lot of what's going on today, that there's still a lot of people who go to church, but they don't really understand what they're doing in the house of God. There are people that even pick up the Bible and they read it because they feel like it would just be a good thing for me just to read the Bible, but they don't even understand it. There are people that go to church all the time on a regular basis. I mean, there are people, good people, that they've decided, hey, here's my resolution for the year. I'm going to just go to church every Sunday. I'm going to go to Times Square Church. I'm going to clap my hands when the choir claps. I'm going to sway when they sway. I'm going to even just shout out an amen even when everybody around me does an amen when Pastor Carter preaches. But really, they don't even understand. And there are many people that have seemed to take this pilgrimage, this journey, to understand religion, to know who God is, to have some type of good in their life. And this man was just simply on a pilgrimage. It was a self-pilgrimage. And the effort was nice. And yes, there was this appreciation to travel all the way to Jerusalem. What a journey that is. And yet to still, in that journey, not even know what he was reading. This is what he was reading. He read this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the Ethiopian man said to Philip, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or someone else? I mean, he had no idea who he was reading about. As he reads this, this word from the book of Isaiah about it's like a lamb that is going to be sheared. It's like a sheep that's going to the slaughter. He doesn't open his mouth. He's silent. He was done unjustly. He was humiliated. And as scripture is sharing this, he says, Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? He truly did not understand. Here this man makes a journey to worship, but doesn't understand really who he's worshiping. And today, there are many, many people that are on a journey. They want to worship. They want to go to church. I want to do what's right. I want to have some type of joy. I want to have hope, but I really don't understand it all. Well, like I said, as when I first stepped out here, praise God, because this is a good news night. You see, Philip says, well, hey, let me tell you about the good news of Jesus. No. It's not talking about the prophet. It's talking about Jesus. This moment in scripture is talking about Jesus, who came on this earth. He became flesh like you and I. Human, a man. He's 100% man, but he was also 100% God. He was the Son of God. He was Jesus. He's full of glory, majesty. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And yet he takes on flesh like us. And then he lives a life full of righteousness. He lives a life holy. He lives a life blameless. He does no wrong, no sin. He lives this life simply so that he would be a sacrifice for you and I. Because here's what had happened. We failed. You and I, we have not been able to live a life without sin. Sin being the wrong, the mess, the stuff, the evil that you and I both know is evil, that doesn't please God. And because of that sin, we've been separated from God. And because of sin, there had to be a price to be paid. It was the right thing to do. It was the just thing to do. The just thing was that you and I should have died. The just thing is that we should have paid the price, the penalty for our sin. Man, if we look back, some of us, 2014, oh, did we make a mess of some things. You know, I sometimes take a moment and just, could you imagine? I mean, imagine there was a mistake made, you know, that the announcements didn't play right on the screen. And instead, it was your mess from 2014. That'd be some type of announcements here in the house of the Lord. You know, that mess separates us from God, but we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And this Savior, Jesus, who walked this earth blameless, he went through a trial that was very messy. It was an unjust trial because he hadn't did anything wrong. But it was an unjust trial on our behalf for you and I, who justly should have went to trial and died. But his unjust trial gave us an opportunity to live and live a life full of joy and hope and freedom. And his unjust trial, I mean, it was bad. It was terrible. I mean, they tore his beard out. They punched him in the face. They drove nails through his hands when he went to the cross from the court right to carrying the cross up to Calvary. They laid him out on this old rugged piece of wood. And they laid him on it. And they drove these nails through his hands. These nails to his feet. He already had this crown of thorns, these long thorns pressed on his head. The scripture tells us in this word that the Ethiopian man was reading, that he was silent. He said nothing. He didn't fight back. He didn't yell at us. He didn't curse us. He didn't condemn us. He went to the cross quietly. I mean, for you and I, the moment somebody does us wrong, boy, we make a fuss about it. We get loud. We get loud when we think that God has done us wrong. We're ready to blame God when we think that God has been unjust to us. But the truth of this good news is we deserve to die, but Jesus went in our place instead. Not only did he take our place instead, not only did he pay our price, but he took on our sin too. All that stuff from 2014, he took it to the cross 2,000 years ago. He bore our sins. That's amazing to me. That even our mess from 2014, 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross with it. Nobody else would do that but God. He went silently. Humiliated for us. He took the humiliation. The stuff that we should be ashamed about from last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. The stuff that we still wrestle with, the guilt, the doubt of feeling like, am I worthy or not? Hey, 2,000 years ago, Jesus took it to the cross. He took it to the cross. He died in our place so that we wouldn't have to die. So that we could live. So that we could come in here tonight for this 6 o'clock service and we could smile with great joy of knowing that Jesus set me free from my sin. The scripture said, who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. It really represents this, these two sentences. Who can describe his generation? Who can describe the lineage of God? It's indescribable. You want to know why? Because the kingdom of God is going to last forever. It's eternal. You know, they tried to kill him on the earth in rebellion and in hatred, this unjust trial that went on, and it took him right to the cross, and he died. But he rose again on the third day. The grave couldn't hold him. He came alive again. When he went to the cross, he conquered our sins. He conquered it. Which means the very sins that have shackled you and chained you through 2014, even the very mess that you may anticipate that you're having to deal with already in January, he took it to the cross. And he won the victory over your sin. I can't win the victory over my mess. You can't win the victory over your mess. You will not be able to figure it out on this journey. You will be just like the Ethiopian, flipping through scripture, trying to figure out, what in the world am I reading? Who should I believe in? What's going on? The answer is Jesus. Some of us, man, things are going to be better. I'm going to take this journey. 2015, I'm taking a journey, man. I'm just going to go to church. My career is going to get better, man. I'm going to go visit a couple little places, you know. And just, I'm going to travel the world. And I'm going to do good with my life, you know. How many times have we heard that? I'm going to do good with my life. No. Here's what would be the good thing for you to do. To receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To repent of your sins. To turn from your wicked ways, to turn from evil, which means, hey, I was going this way, but now I'm going to turn and I'm going this way. And I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for my sins, rose again on the third day, full of power and full of his glory and his authority. His resurrection power is the same power he wants to give to you, that you might have new life and life more abundantly that only comes through Jesus Christ. That's good news. Life comes through Jesus. He said it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to my Father but through me. If you would receive me, then there'll be restoration with your Father in heaven. And you won't be enemies with God anymore. You won't have to live your life in guilt or shame. You won't have to keep your head down, but you will be able to pick your head up, and there'll be joy in the journey that you take each and every day, a joy that comes only from Jesus Christ. This is the good news that Philip told the Ethiopian man. I mean, he got excited. At one point, he just goes, well, why do we got to wait around for me to get baptized? He said, and baptism, it really just, it represents the symbolically that when somebody goes under the water, it's saying, I'm ridding myself of my sinful life and my wicked life. That's coming to an end. And when I come up out of this water, I'm a new creature. I'm a new person because Jesus set me free. And I love this, you know. The Ethiopian man just excited. Here he is in this desert, this desolate place, reading scripture and not understanding it. But when he had an encounter with Jesus, a joy took over. It's about Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's where the joy comes from. The joy just doesn't simply come by you just being religious. The joy comes by you saying, I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to give him my life and I want him to take over and make me new. That's the joy in the journey. It makes the reading a whole lot different. He says, why not right now? And so, you know, they found a place. They found this place with water. And I love this moment. And Philip just, you know, they both got to get in the water. And they get in the water. You know what? I love this man because here's what it takes, too, for you to really grab hold of Jesus, to surrender your life. There's got to be humility. You've got to humble yourself. You're not going to be able to figure it out on your own. And your pride is going to destroy you. It will destroy your life. You've got to humble yourself. I mean, here's this Ethiopian man, this treasurer, this court official. I mean, and all of it. And probably had some fancy clothes on. Probably had a really good suit on, man. Three-piece. Custom. Tailored. He said, forget about my status. Forget about my position. Forget about my career. Forget, career is good. Don't misunderstand me, but Jesus is far more valuable than your career. You want a successful career? Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You really want to succeed? You really want to go somewhere? Give your life over to Jesus Christ. Let him have complete authority and power over every move that you make. Hallelujah. Oh, man, he said, oh, man, all the people that are working with me, all the people that are traveling with me, our whole caravan, forget about it. Let's get into this water. I want Jesus, right? The scripture says that they go down in the water, and then when they come up, this is really awesome. I'm telling you, I'm not making this stuff up. This is the gospel. This is good news. But when the Ethiopian man came up out of the water, and when Philip came up out of the water with them, both of them dipped in, dipped out. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit took Philip away. Whoa, you ain't following me. No, I'm talking. He didn't hold his hand and walk with him down the road. No. Took him away. That means it's just an elevation. Just woo, gone. Woo! Can you picture it? Can you picture it? I mean, just gone and baptized him, gave him good news, and died. On, gone, just gone, gone. Wow. Forget about Superman. Wow. We've got the real thing right here in the Bible. And here's what you get with good news. You get the supernatural. Everything that we've attempted to do in the natural, in our own flesh, it's always ended in failure, wickedness, sin, guilt, shame. But the supernatural power of God, it's demonstrated in that moment when Philip is taken away. And the scripture says that the Ethiopian man was fine with watching him go away because now he's got Jesus. And the Ethiopian man, he went on his way rejoicing, scripture says. There was a joy inside of him on his journey. When we first started this story out, it was just him on a desert, in a desert place, reading scripture, reading about Jesus and not even understanding who he was as his Lord and Savior. But now he is on the road, joy on the journey, because he knows who Jesus is as his Savior. He has experienced the supernatural power of God. The supernatural has everything to do with you and I being saved by his grace. Thank God that in the supernatural, God would do something supernatural for one man in a desolate place. And then would fly Philip out. Philip could have stayed all over the place in the other big cities, but because God has his eye on you, he wants you to have a supernatural experience. Hey, I'm sorry. I just gave you good news, and I'm probably not going to fly up and out of here like Philip when I'm done. But we can all walk out of here with joy in our heart. We can all walk out of here with joy. Could the music ministry come on out and get ready? Because there are some people here this evening. I think you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ. I think you want more than just a religious experience. I think you want Jesus. I believe it in my heart. Don't you dare start this new year out by just saying, I just want to be a good person. None of us are good. Down south, I'm from Virginia. Down south, we say, we done gone and blown it. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died. He died in my place. Man. And we're so undeserving. But he went through an unjust trial, went to the cross for you and I. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Man, that just moves my heart. Why would you reject such a Savior? Full of love and full of grace. This is the evening of your salvation. This is the evening for you to experience, to take hold of true joy. No more loneliness. You don't have to be lonely. You can have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And with Jesus, there's such a freedom and a hope that you have in Jesus. I meant it. Go back and listen to the other messages. Boy, they just all day today, we've just been trying to point people just right to Jesus, right to Jesus, the Savior. The Savior, save you from living a hopeless life. Are you tired of living a hopeless life? Grab hold of Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and then I'm going to ask for people to be desperate tonight. To be desperate, like the Ethiopian man. You don't care. I don't want you to care about who else is around you or what. Maybe you might even feel embarrassed because you've been coming here for a while, but you have not yet surrendered, like received Jesus as your Savior. I want you to come up here. I want you to pray tonight. And I want to pray with you. And some of you, you might have friends or family members that are here with you tonight. You come up here with them. Encourage them. Take their hand. We're going to pray tonight. And you're going to pray, and when you receive Jesus tonight, there's going to be a joy that's going to come up out of your soul. You've got to surrender tonight. You've got to receive Jesus. Will you do that? Stand with me. Don't even hesitate. No more religiosity. No more taking this journey by yourself thinking that you'll get it right. You come down right now. You come around. Come down right now to the front of this auditorium and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. There's joy for you this evening. And not just this evening, there is everlasting joy for you that comes from Jesus Christ. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I repent of my sins. I confess to you my wrongs. I do believe you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Make me whole. Make me a new person. I want to live for you. I don't want to just be religious. Give me a relationship with you, Jesus. You are my Savior. Give me joy. Give me hope. Give me new life. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, this is awesome. You know, I tell you what, and praise God, you know, see so many young people up here. And I tell you, this doesn't have to be just a moment you experience up here. No, not at all. It is a journey that you now take in the joy of Jesus Christ. And nothing else will satisfy you more than Jesus. And as you take this journey, you know, I was thinking how like the Ethiopian man, I'm sure probably when he got back to his own country, probably very challenging to be able to explain to many that he is now a believer in Jesus Christ and I'm changed. But the joy of the Lord is his strength. The joy of the Lord, this is why the joy for your journey in Jesus, it's important. It will be your strength when you feel very weak and you're just like really going through. And also too, as you take this the journey in the joy of Jesus Christ, also too, you have a new family. You have a new family. And if this area is close to you and maybe you're visiting here or recommitting your life to the Lord tonight or receiving Christ Jesus for the first time in your life, you have a family here at Times Square Church. We will love on you and embrace you. And I just want to encourage you too. We have these amazing classes on Friday nights. They're called New Believers Classes. And that's for you just to, as you take this journey, to understand how to walk in that joy, how to have just life and be free each and every day as you take this journey. I want to encourage you, if you could lock in some time on Friday nights. But to give you some more information about that, if you go down the aisle into the lobby and just downstairs, we have something we want to give you. We just want to give you a few gifts. And we have some people down there that just want to just connect with you as we go into the new year, not to stalk you, but just to sometimes give you a call or an email and just say, hey, how can we pray for you? You know, are you doing okay? And you can either reject us or receive the love. It's up to you. But we just want you to know that you've got family. And if this is too far for you, we got some downstairs. We've got a list of some other great churches that will embrace you as family. So I just want to take a minute and just say, hey, church, let's just give them the aisle so that they can go ahead and go down to the lobby. You all can go ahead and turn around and just head down the aisle right there. Go down to the lobby. I'm telling you, it's only going to just take a few minutes. Church, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, I just want to pray. I just want to pray as they're heading down the aisles. Praise God for salvation. Praise God for salvation. But also, too, as I pray, anybody in here struggling with joy? Anybody here sometimes just... No, honest, be honest, show of hands. Anybody here just sometimes just don't feel very joyful? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I want to pray for you right now. God, you're faithful. You're holy. You have all power and all authority. You have the power to lift whatever sorrow is on those people here that have raised their hands. Lord, give them the freedom tonight to trade in their sorrow, to trade in hopelessness for your hope, to trade in sorrow for joy. Lord, give them the strength right now to trust you with the feelings of loneliness, depression, anxiety, and fears. We come against those things now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have the power to deliver and set us free from those things. And in exchange, give us joy and hope and life in you in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters that as they walk out of these doors, that Lord God, that you would do a healing work in their heart and in their mind and in their soul. Do a transformative work right now, Lord God. In those areas where they feel like quitting, where they struggle with joy, I pray that there would be a supernatural joy that would come over my brothers and sisters tonight, right now. Supernatural joy. Joy that we can't explain in our own flesh, in our own strength, in our own mind, but a joy that comes directly from your throne of grace. You are mighty and able to do it, oh God. You lift our spirits, God. Lift our spirits in this dark hour that we might know that Jesus, you are on the throne. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have life in you, oh Jesus. Thank you, God. We thank you for the good news. Thank you for your presence here in the house of the Lord. We humble ourselves and we say all glory belongs to you, Jesus. And we go out rejoicing, full of life. Because Jesus, you have given us life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.